two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We're going to talk a little NFL. Mike, take a trip around a few teams that are going to be noteworthy throughout the National Football League coming into the 2022 season.
Heck yeah.
We're going to chat some Buffalo Bills coming up here in a moment with Matt Perino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com.
The NFL was gripping. It was as good as it could have possibly been. The postseason last year and a lot of the regular season games, holy cow, the NFL had my full attention. It was as good as postseason as I've ever seen.
But, yes.
And that even includes when I was around. It was just incredible. Every game, overtime, every game, big drama, big storylines. Every team has huge, impactful, big-name players. And the coaching was just stellar. And, you know, I don't think any professional sport has the TV coverage that the NFL has. They do a great job with their announcers and how clean everything is. It was awesome.
When you were playing in the league, did you spend much time looking at what else was going on around the league, or were you so just hyper-focused?
So hyper-focused.
On what you're doing?
Yeah, hyper-focused. Just day-to-day trying to make it. I was just always a bubble guy, so every day felt like today might be my day.
Yeah.
So never really did get to see the big picture of the league when I was in it.
Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com. Matt Perino joins us right now as we kind of take a look at some notable teams across the league. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Matt.
I'm great. Great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. So, you know, look, Buffalo's been a bit of a tortured city when it comes to the National Football League. Much hope as that city's had in quite some time leading into this season?
It's kind of strange to say because, to your point, the last couple decades have been pretty forgettable, especially that 17-year playoff drought. But it's almost as like, you know, the slate's been wiped clean. It's a whole new world living in Buffalo and, you know, cheering for the Bills. I mean, they're the heavy Super Bowl favorite right now. They were so even, you know, before they went out and signed Von Miller and had a pretty solid draft and, you know, filled a couple holes here and there in free agency. You know, they have arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, at least somebody in the conversation in Josh Allen. So to be a Bills fan in 2022 is an experience that a lot of the younger members of Bills Mafia, you know, they think that this is probably like the status quo where a lot of, you know, the old guard is like, appreciate where you're at.
So you talked about your quarterback, Josh Allen. Are you going to be covering the match coming up here June 1st and following him on the course? Are you going to be actually there?
No, they actually really limited the media availability for that. So a couple of us on the beat applied, and were turned away. So obviously they want to keep it probably pretty low key, some national outlets, but yeah, he's excited about it. We talked to him about it yesterday, and his goal is going there and talking as much trash to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers as he can. He doesn't necessarily know if the golf will hold up because, you know, that's something that, you know, as great of an athlete as these guys are, I mean, playing a different sport on that level and with that many people watching, it's got to be a little bit intimidating. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple shanks, even from Brady and Rodgers.
I do the play-by-play for Utah State in the Mountain West Conference, so I saw Josh Allen a couple times as the quarterback in Wyoming, and obviously you saw the skills, but wasn't a particularly accurate quarterback. His final year, he lost some weapons, and frankly wasn't overwhelming as far as what we saw from him in terms of production there at Wyoming. So I'll admit I didn't anticipate he'd be a particularly great quarterback in the National Football League. Just your thoughts in watching his evolution, just how surprised were you with what they got in and what it eventually turned into and arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League?
Mm-hmm. I started covering the team. My first day on the beat was training camp 2018, right after they drafted him, a couple months after that. And so I kind of went in with a pretty open mind. I had been covering the UFC, so I wasn't really heavily involved in the whole draft process, and obviously a big portion of the fan base wanted Josh Rosen, and some people wanted were hoping Sam Darnold would fall, and so there's a lot of people that were upset with it, especially with the kind of project that he was. I liked a lot of what I saw early on, and honestly, had he turned into a bad quarterback, I probably would have gotten a lot of grief from the fan base because I didn't really see what everybody else was seeing. I thought, you know, in the building, the way people talked about him, the plan they had for him, and then just what he can do with the football in his hands. Like, you saw pieces of that in his rookie season. I'll never forget that throw he made in the Jacksonville game to Robert Foster that went for like a 70-yard touchdown. He hung in the pockets, you know, stepped up and just put one on a rope, like, across his body, like, perfectly placed for an 70-yard touchdown pass. And I'm like, listen, it was one play, but there's only so many guys in this league that can do that. And then you combine his ability to run with the ball and the fact that linebackers have talked about just hating tackling the guy, and he's turned into this dual threat nightmare for opposing defenses. And I think that the way that he's progressed year to year with his accuracy, with his placement on the ball, and all the work that he's done with Jordan Poyer out in California, you can never project that kind of thing. It's just got to be special to a guy. It's the same thing with Tom Brady. Like, his work ethic is kind of what separates him. Allen has a lot of that in him. And so that's the part I think it's hard to scout that. And it's something that the Bills felt strongly about that they had when they called his name in the draft.
So, Matt, we don't have an NFL team here, obviously, in the state of Utah. So we really love our college athletes, pay a lot of attention to them, give them a lot of attention on sports radio here. And you've got two of our favorites out of the state there in Buffalo with Zach Moss out of the University of Utah, and then a corner out of Weber State, Taron Johnson, who I think is going to continue to be fantastic. What do you think of those two individuals that you've got out there from the state?
I love Taron Johnson, man. Every chance I've gotten to talk to him in the locker room, the dude just is humble. He's always working. He's always kind of, you know, crafting and, like, how can he become a better version of himself. And what's great about his story is when he got to the league as a fourth-round draft pick, you know, it was up and down early on for him. He actually got benched in his second year. They brought in an undrafted free agent to start for him who got hurt in the game that Taron was benched in. Taron went back into the game, and he never relinquished that job again. And now, 4 years later, before the last season even ended, the Bills extended him and gave him, I think, what was the second richest contract for a slot corner in the NFL. And he's important to them because of the style of defense they play. They play 90% base nickel defense. So he's on the field as that slot corner, but in a lot of ways, he acts as that third linebacker with Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. And he's so physical. He's so willing to get in the box and tackle, a lot like Jordan Poyer, who was an all-pro last year. They have a lot of, you know, that those qualities are very similar amongst their defensive backs and their willingness to play tough, play physical. Zach Moss, it just hasn't gone, you know, the way that he probably mapped it out. It's a guy that I still think that there is a bright future for if he can really come into training camp this year and, you know, flash. Devin Singletary is a free agent after next season. I think he's the number one running back going to camp. They drafted James Cook, who's going to be this kind of, you know, do it all kind of weapon. I almost envision like Singletary and James Cook kind of like Mark Ingram and Zach and Alvin Kamara early on in his career, like the way that they were able to kind of run that backfield in New Orleans. I think that that's what the Bills are hoping to see out of Singletary and Cook. But Moss can maybe, you know, if he does enough this year, move into that starter role if Singletary prices himself out. And then all of a sudden you got Moss in his fourth year, contract year, where he's got to prove it and get a big lion's share of the workload. So I don't think the door's shut on Zach Moss. He's had some injuries as well. I'm still higher on him than most. We'll see how this season plays out because there's only so many touches. When you play in an offense with Josh Allen and you're a running back, you really got to make the most out of the few touches that you get in the game.
So when you look at this team, and obviously, as you mentioned, they're heavy, heavy Super Bowl favorites. Is there a weakness? Is there an area of concern that this team has going into this season?
You know, it's tough to poke a hole in that. I think the two areas where I'd say there's at least cause for discussion are maybe a cornerback. How long does it take Tre'Davious White to get back to his all-pro level after he suffered a torn ACL last year? And if he's not ready at the start, how much pressure does that put on first-round draft pick Kaiir Elam out of Miami? And then on the offensive line, they lost a couple veterans in John Feliciano and Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams started games for them last year at right tackle and right guard. You know, they're really banking on Ryan Bates, who they matched an offer sheet. The Bears wanted him. They're giving him about $4 million a year. They're really putting a lot of hopes on him to be a guy that can kind of fill in there. They brought in Roger Saffold, who's been really good for the Rams and the Titans the last couple of years, but he's 34. He's had some shoulder issues, so that's going to be something to track. And then kind of maybe under, maybe not getting the national headlines right now, but Jordan Poyer, he wants a new contract. And so if he's not a part of this thing, and I think that they get to a point where training camp begins and he shows up because it's going to be costly for him not to. But the longer that kind of hangs over everybody's head here, I mean, he's a huge part of what they do defensively. And, you know, he was one of the first people that Sean McDermott signed when he came here, even right after the Bills, or right before the Bills hired Brandon Bean as their general manager. You know, McDermott really led that offseason, and he got Jordan Poyer, he got Micah Hyde, and they've been pretty much the leaders on this team, especially the defense, over the last 5 years. And with that kind of potential distraction looming, that could be a hole if they end up having to, you know, can't come up with something there, and they got to move Jordan Poyer. I really wonder how that, you know, changes things for this defense. Or maybe they do come to an agreement. Maybe it's a short-term thing. We'll see. But there's so much talent on this roster now. It's like Jordan Poyer did all this work to get to this point and may not be able to see it through because he does want some security here moving into, you know, this last bite of the apple. So we'll see how that develops.
I know you spend the bulk of your time with the Buffalo Bills. I got to imagine you watch a lot of the AFC East and just pay attention to some of those division partners. Who's going to be the better quarterback, Mac Jones or Zach Wilson?
That's a great question. I think I'm actually higher on Zach Wilson than most. He had a really bad rookie year, and you know they have a lot of work to do. But I like what the Jets have done to put weapons around him. They built up that offensive line. And I'm not sure that the Patriots are doing the same thing. I haven't seen enough, you know, moves around Mac Jones to where they're putting separators. They're adding bulk to that offensive line. If anything, they lost a couple guys off that offensive line, and they're trying to, you know, fill it with a guy in Cole Strange who, by all accounts, was a massive reach. I just think that maybe Zach Wilson has the better surrounding cast right now. I like some of the stuff that I saw with Mac Jones, but we saw what happened in those last two games. The problem is he's got to play the Bills two times a year, and the one time he was actually, you know, average was when they only asked him to throw it three times in that windstorm. So I think that this is just a really bad division to be in if you're Mac Jones. It's a bad matchup against this Bills defense. Sean McDermott historically is just so tough to play against for young quarterbacks. He's, you know, even Tom Brady, when he's in the division, struggled against the Bills with McDermott here. So I might lean Wilson, and that might be a little bit of a controversial pick But I definitely don't, as good as Miami, I think they're definitively the number two team in this division. I think that they might run into problems with the lack of talent at their quarterback spot.
So honestly, and you know, look, you're in Utah, you're not Buffalo, so you can, you know, on the air right now, so you can be honest with us, because for all of us out here that we watch all the NFL games, we see the highlights and we see what goes on in other cities, you got to paint a picture for us. Like, when you're walking around that stadium before a game, is it as rowdy and crazy as all the highlights that that float around there with the Bills Mafia?
Oh yeah, man, especially the primetime games. I mean, you better, you know, be dressed warm if it's in November or December, and, you know, be ready for the unexpected. I mean, people are flying through tables. They're doing shots out of bowling balls. It is just a massive party. Yeah, so there's this one part of the tailgate. This guy, his name is Kenny. They call him Pinto Ron because, like, 40 years ago, he showed up at the game in this old Pinto, they took all the stuff out of it, the insides, and they turned it into like a grill. Like, the hood of the car is like the grill, and it just sits like at the tailgate. And it's become like one of the most popular ones. If you've ever seen the videos, like every game, they, before COVID, they'd set him up and they'd bring people on top of a bus and they'd all spray him with ketchup and mustard. And it's like this big thing. People have done feature stories on it, everything. So it's just a different level. Like, and that's one of the things when they were talking about a new stadium and potentially moving it downtown. A lot of the diehards that do go to the games were kind of against that because it's out in the suburbs, they're able to have that really rowdy tailgating scene. And it's an experience. Everybody that I ever talk to that does it for the first time, it's eye-opening. It's something that you probably should do before you die, I think.
I wanted to throw this question at you. I played a few years in the league, and back in my time, they used to let reporters and media come into our locker room, and it felt pretty invasive, and there was a lot of access to the team and a lot of access to a lot of the guys. We are the NBA flagship here with the Utah Jazz, and we kind of watch what access we get. But is the access the same, Matt? Are you guys still able to get into the locker rooms and go to the locker of each individual on almost two or three times a week that mm-hmm. occurred? Do you still have that level of access with the guys?
We did before COVID, and apparently it's coming back, but it's going to be team specific, so it's kind of still up in the air. Listen, I get where you're coming from. At times, you know, it's awkward from a standpoint of just for a group of men walking in there, but we had a lot of women in our press corps in Buffalo. So walking into a locker room where a bunch of guys are walking around half naked, some fully naked, I mean, it's uncomfortable. It took me a while to get used to. I was not used to that setting, and I do agree it can be a bit invasive. I think that there's a way they can do it to where, you know, you have a portion of the time in the locker room where, you know the media is coming, and maybe it doesn't have to be that, way. I don't know what the exact answer is, but I will say from a media perspective, the one-on-one access to the guys in that relaxed setting, it really allows us to tell stories better, get to know them better, get to know the dynamics inside the team better. The thing with the NFL and why I think it's so important there is because it's such an absolutely starving fan base, you know, around the world for content around the NFL, and to create, you know, good content, it takes really digging into a lot of these subjects. And we just don't have any access to the players like that anywhere else. And I've developed really good relationships with a bunch of guys from that. But to your point, it can be a little awkward. You almost, like, get to a point where you're almost numb to it after, like, a season. Like, you get into it, and it's just like going to the office. But, yeah, I get it, especially from a player perspective. I try to keep that in mind when we're doing that and be as respectful as we can.
And have you had an opportunity to catch up with BYU receiver, new pickup for you, Neil Powell?
No, I have not talked to him yet, but I will say he made one of the plays of rookie minicamp. We had the one open practice to the media, and the athleticism was off the charts. He made one just leaping grab and just outbodied the cornerback. It was a pretty big cornerback. It wasn't like a 5'10 guy. And, you know, the physical traits, that's something that I think the Bills talked about liking about him. So I'm interested to see him out on the practice field during training camp. There's been a couple really cool stories of guys that have really hung on with the Bills over the years on the practice squad. Duke Duke Williams was one of those guys. He went to the CFL, former draft pick in the league, that kind of washed out a little bit, then came back. So there's opportunities. They like developing receivers. They want to pretend around Josh Allen, so he'll be a guy I'm watching in camp.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and let's do it again here soon before the start of the season. This was fun.
Anytime, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
you got it. Matt Parrino, Bills beat reporter for Syracuse.com on the Shout podcast. Also does some work for TV station News 4 out of Buffalo as well.
Neil Powell was one of the guys I thought as a free agent is possibly going to land a spot. I gave him a pretty high chance. And I'm talking, Scotty, minimum of a practice squad.
Yeah.
So I think that Neil's got a chance to do it. He is extremely physical. He is a very good size receiver, and he's also a kind of a do-it-all receiver. You can put him in so many different positions. In screen sets, he's going to block on the outside and different sweeps, jet sweeps into rounds. He's going to go block a corner, pick up a safety, so which the NFL teams love. When you're a physical receiver, you're the Hines Ward type. You know, you're going to pick up a block and run him off a sideline and bury him. And they'll do that for you. So I hope that he can end up making that Bills team. Plus, when you make a team when you got an up-and-coming quarterback, more than up-and-coming, I mean, Josh Allen has arrived.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you've got that type of quarterback throwing to you, all you got to do is just put everything in. And he's got the athleticism. Put everything into it. Josh Allen can make you look like a superstar. Even though you're not going to get a lot of reps with him with the ones, when you're in there and you've got an opportunity to catch a ball from him, make sure you come down with
it. Yeah, bring it in. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Katie's with us once again. We are live here at Homie. Normally when we're on remote, we're like, hey, come by, hang out with us. We just want you to go to a website, homie.com. If you are buying or selling a home, in fact, Katie, I was just a neighbor's house went up on the market, and my wife sent me the text of it, and by the time that I think it went on the market like 2 days ago, and it is now under contract, and probably has been under contract for a minute. Like, that's how quickly things are going. And so if you're selling your home, if you're buying your home, you need to be able to move fast if you want to be competitive in this market.
Exactly. The market is shifting, so we are seeing homes not have quite as many competitive offers. So that's good news for those that are out there buying, but it is still definitely a seller's market. So if you've been on the fence for a while saying, well, I don't know where I'm going to go, I don't know, you know, what my next move is going to be, I'm nervous about the market, it's a great time to sell your home still. There's still plenty of buyers out there, but it's also a good time to buy where it's not as competitive as it has been. So if it's time for you to either downsize or upgrade your home, we have an incredible tool, Buy Before You Sell, that's going to help you, one, have a cash offer that you're going to be able to utilize so you can close in as little as 10 days. You'll be able to move into your new home before selling your old one. And that is just an incredible asset to be able to know where you're going to move next. You're not so nervous. You're not having to have it contingent on the sale of your previous home. So it's an incredible tool for those to use that are just kind of been sitting there waiting.
Katie, do we still have buy down rate ability? We still buy down rates?
Yeah, you definitely can.
You know, we've been talking about the savings that Homie can give you, and we talked about the different areas that you could put that money into when we had really good rates. But now you could take that savings, whatever, $12,000, $13,000, and you could buy down rates. Because I know people are a little bit nervous, like, oh, the rates are high. You're going to save $12,000, $13,000, depending if you're in the median sell rate here in the state or you're higher. You're going to save a lot of money. Use it to buy down your rates, to buy your new place.
Exactly. And I totally get that, like, the feeling of rates are high, but let's look back historically. Rates aren't as bad as we think that they are. I think we've been a little bit spoiled by how low the rates have been. And so now when we start hearing rates going up, you're like, whoa, that's really, really high. It's not really, really high. It's still definitely, definitely doable, and you can definitely go find your next dream home.
My purchase in 2006, I think, was still higher. I think I was like at a 5.6 or a 5.7. Scotty, yeah. Your first purchase here.
Yeah, it was like in the low fives.
Low fives?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
that was in 08, I want to say.
We just got spoiled with the 2.somethings.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, we're parading around like it's going to be that forever.
Well, and I think people think that that's coming back. It's not coming back.
I can't.
Yeah. If ever.
Yeah. Yeah, the economy right now is definitely very, very interesting. And so making sure that you can get into a home that you're going to be able to have equity in, that you're not throwing your money away on rent, because rent prices are going up too. So this is a way for you to get into a home, even if it's if you're looking for a first-time home and you're needing to get into a condo or a townhome, still totally doable. And we can help you throughout the whole process. Download Homie's app and search right there on your phone. Click to take a tour. Our agent's going to meet you right there and walk you through the process and find the dream home for you.
Go to homie.com right now. That's H-O-M-I-E. Homie.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Pete Sampson covers Notre Dame for The Athletic.
To me, like the BYU game, it's going to be a really good barometer for Notre Dame because let's just mark Ohio State as a loss. Ohio State's probably the number one team in the country or top two or top three. BYU is the kind of game that Brian Kelly always figured out how to win. Can Marcus Freeman figure this one out too? Because if you can get BYU, then I think you're looking at 6-1, 7-1 going to Clemson in November and you got a chance to make a national statement. If BYU gets you and they're more than capable of doing that, then the narrative turns to like first time head coach, this is a rebuild, what's going on. It's going to be a very, very significant game, but I think the fan bases for both schools are going to make it a pretty awesome atmosphere.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. This segment, this show, all brought to you by U First Credit Union. Go to ufirstcu.com. For over 65 years, they've been part of your community, and while their name might be changing, their commitment to you is not. Find out more at ufirstcu.com.
Wheel is loaded, Scotty. Headlines for days.
Like Lloyd on a weekend. Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
I'm sorry.
It's loaded.
Yeah, but you're not, though.
He's sorry.
I'm
I can tell.
He's not sorry.
I am.
He's as sorry as he was for that text he sent me.
I apologize.
Like my family like listens, and they just think I'm like a loaded tweaker.
The ketamine thing was probably too far, too. I probably shouldn't have asked you about that.
I think all of it's too far. Safe to say all of it.
All right.
You go better. Too far, Columbus.
Scotty will do better. Scotty will do better.
I'm sorry.
No he won't.
I will. I commit to be better. I'm sorry. All right. Let's get to it. Lloyd, spin that wheel.
Are we doing enough?
So, Scotty, you made a point 2 weeks ago, maybe, when you said if LeBron James was being held by the Russians, we would probably have LeBron James back. Brittany Griner has been held in Russia since The middle of February. So it's been just over 3 months. It's like 3 months and a week. Well, her wife, Cheryl Greiner, sat down in an interview with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, and this is what she said about her wife, who's been in holding in Russia now for over 3 months.
And what was your initial reaction?
So I first heard the news through Brittany, actually. She started texting me around 2 a.m. that morning. Babe, 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 wake up. They have me in this room. I don't know what's going on. And so I instantly text back, who are they and what room? And she's like, the customs people, they just grabbed me when I was going through and they have me in this room. She sent me a message and said, they'd rather take my phone. Don't text anymore. So I'm like, just call me when you can, you know? And so that was it.
How long did it take for you to have communication with her again after that?
We're, what, 96 days? And the phone call never came.
But you have been able to communicate through letters?
Sporadically, you know, here and there.
I know that you want to speak with President Biden.
Absolutely. I just keep hearing that he has the power. She's a political pawn. So if they're holding her because they want you to do something, then I want you to do it.
And I know that Secretary Blinken has reached out to you and has communicated to you that top priority. Do you feel that's the case?
I don't know. I was grateful for the call. You say she's top priority, but I want to see it. And I feel like to see it would be me seeing BG on U.S. soil. At this point, I don't even know who I'm getting back when she comes back.
It's a fair point. Mm-hmm. You spend 96 days, and it's going to be a lot longer than that before this thing's resolved in a Russian prison.
Well, they just extended it by 3 months a week ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, you don't know who you're getting back. That's
or when.
And that's going to change a person for sure.
But isn't there a certain responsibility? I guess I don't know what our country's laws and procedures are in regards to going and getting one of our citizens that is being held. Now, if she did in fact have this hash oil on her person and she was trying to go through customs and got nailed with this illegal substance, she does have some culpability. She has some responsibility in what's happening here. But to be held as long as she's been held and to have as many people, and it was really weird that the WNBA and everybody was like, shh, don't say anything.
It'll just make it worse.
It'll just make it worse. Yeah, but will it? Because I think Russia knows exactly who they
are. Yeah. I think this interview was probably duly needed because...
And it might have been
because,
too late. Well, not too late, but this needed probably be done a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee you, if it was LeBron James, if it was
Peyton Manning.
Patrick Mahomes,
yeah.
Peyton Manning,
yeah.
You know,
Tom Brady,
it would have lasted a matter of a week or so. Like, what do you need? And it would have been very quiet. Would have been some very serious, you know, backroom negotiations. Like, okay, well, we need this person released, or we need this and this, or we need you to do this. It never would have been public in terms of what the deal was, but there would have been something that would have transpired to make that happen.
I am very aware of the comments that Brittany Griner has made in the past. I'm very aware of how polarizing she is, but that doesn't make her any less of a U.S. citizen, in my opinion.
Nope, not at all.
She is an American. And she has been in holding. And her wife is obviously extremely emotional over it. And at some point, we got to look at it and say, that's an American human. We got to go get that.
Yeah.
We got to go get that American. But, and she said that, yeah, they said that there are certain things. And they said that, that she's top priority. She said, but make it top priority. See what they want. Get my wife back.
Can't say. I mean, yeah.
So I put it in. I just to put it in perspective. I think. Well, what if Russia was holding my wife?
You'd be.
What if Russia was holding your wife?
You'd be banging on every drum.
Every night would be sleepless.
Given every interview, you'd be doing everything you could.
It's not like she's being held by, you know, at the Salt Lake Correctional Center.
No, this is. Yeah.
It's scary. I'd be horrified.
Yeah.
So I feel terrible for Cheryl Greiner. I feel bad that Brittany Griner has got herself in this mess, and I hope our country goes and fixes this. I don't know if they can. I don't know if they will.
Yeah.
I don't know if they really can right now. With where Russia is in standing with Ukraine, it's a mess.
Yeah. All right, Lloyd, spin it.
Eric Miron.
So, Scotty, does that name ring a bell? Eric Miron?
No.
That's because this individual just changed his name legally to be Eric Miron. It was Ricky Williams. It is now Eric Miron.
Really? Why?
The old Texas running back, longtime NFL running back. He was Ricky Williams has got to be one of the most misunderstood NFL athletes, college athletes in our country's history, doesn't he? Like, he was always just kind of different, beat to his own drum, did his own thing. He decided to take his wife's last name.
Oh.
And he also decided to use his original given first name, which was Eric. Ricky was kind of adopted along the way, and Williams is his last name. Myron is his wife's last name, and Eric was his first given name.
All right.
So he is now going by Eric Miron.
All right. Good for him. According to the story, addressing the imbalance of marriage.
Well, I guess they've gone through some different counseling, and, you know, they've trying to figure out different avenues to strengthen relationships, and that was one way to do it. I do wonder too. I've always seen Ricky Williams as a guy that doesn't necessarily like being Ricky Williams.
Although I think the proceeds from his cannabis company, I think, are making things enjoyable for not Ricky Williams, Eric Miron.
Eric has been interested in that long before our country said, yeah, it's okay to do it.
He was a trailblazer. He could say.
Yeah. Did you get that one, Lloyd?
Yeah, I understood that.
I wasn't making any Lloyd references there at all.
Yes, you were.
No.
You directed that right at him.
No, I was me. I was like all by myself. Like just me by myself in a big white passenger van heading south on I-15.
There it is, third time. If you felt like it could improve your marriage, would you consider it?
Sure. I don't know why, honestly, anybody changes their name, period. I mean, I know that it's
customary.
Tradition and customary, but,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's very customary.
But, you know, if your daughter was getting married and she's like, I want to keep the Olsen name, she'd be like, all right, fine.
My sister did.
Yeah.
My oldest sister. So I think that a lot of women say, well, I don't necessarily want it, or I necessarily do want it, or it seems like it's a tradition that's gone back many years, but people don't pay as much attention to it, do they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, do what you want. I don't care.
It's never an issue with mine.
But. Yeah. If you want to do it, great. If you don't want to do it, no big deal.
Figure it out. Eric Miron, we decided
Eric,
to go a different way.
Go do you. All right. Lloyd, one more. Let's spin it.
That's not what you want to hear from your coach.
Man, did you see Coach Shanahan talking about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, what did he say about Janine?
So, you know, we had the draft come and go. We had NFL free agency come and go, and Jimmy Garoppolo remains a 49er.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing to Kyle Shanahan. And he's kind of looking at it. He's like, well, we drafted Trey Lance, number 3 overall, and why do we still have Jimmy? Well, reporters went to Kyle Shanahan after OTAs and asked him, and he said, well, I expect him at some time most likely to be traded, but who knows? That's not a guarantee. It's been on hold when the surgery happened. When he's healthy, we'll see what happens then. That was That was what he had to say about Jimmy Garoppolo. He said, I expect him at some time most likely to be traded, but who knows? It's not a guarantee. It's been on hold while surgery happened. But when he's healthy, we'll see what happens. Gosh, if you're Jimmy, you're like, man, I took us to some playoffs. Like, I played some decent playoff football. I know I've been dealing with injuries, and I'm a little bit fragile, but I've had some big moments. The 49ers overachieved this last season in the postseason. Was it last season, the postseason? Was it two seasons? Was it last season, wasn't it?
Well, last season. And
he's made a couple of different ones.
No, he's
yeah, they were 10-7.
He's a fine quarterback. He's not a championship quarterback, so I think that's what they're hoping Trey Lance comes in and takes you to the next level. But geez, I mean, I guess he's certainly letting every team around the league know that hey, we've got a quarterback here. If you want him, come and get him.
He's not exactly Trent Dilfer.
Kind of.
I would say he's probably a little bit better than Trent Dilfer.
Well, Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
He did, only for that defense.
Yeah, it was just terrible. Last year. It was just last year, Scotty. Remember, they beat Dallas in a wild card. Then they beat Green Bay in the divisional.
Yeah.
And ended up losing to the Super Bowl champions, Rams, in the conference championships.
See? He's fine. He must think Trey Lance is the real deal then.
Oh, yeah. They must. Do you think he is?
I think Trey Lance has a chance to be really good. But when it comes to these rookie quarterbacks and now second-year quarterbacks, unless you see it, I have a hard time buying it until you see it. It could go either way.
It could really could.
Yeah.
But they must have some confidence in him because this is a pretty pointed cut from Coach Shanahan. I expect him at some time most likely to be traded. But who knows? I don't know. That's not a guarantee. It's been on hold while surgery happened. But when he's healthy, we'll see what happens.
Jeez. Okay. Wow. All right. Hands and Scotty. We'll wrap this thing up next. Get you ready for Unrivaled straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
Top 60 and 60. Every summer, you hear the selections on the Top 60 and 60. And every summer, you think to yourself, man, these guys are idiots.
Are we cheering for idiots?
Okay, smart guy. Now's your time to shine. Go to KSLSports.com for the Top 60 and 60 fan vote, where you can rank the 60 best college football players in Utah.
It doesn't make you better than me.
This year, the Zone will include your votes with the media selections to determine the best players in the state. Voting ends on June 1st, so go to KSLSports.com. It's the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hands and Scotty, thanks for making us part of your Wednesday. Week's half over, folks. You're almost there.
We're almost there. Just keep it up. A little bit of lawn care today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got to pick up on the weed eating. A little bit of mowing. Take advantage of this beautiful day.
Yes. It's going to heat up tomorrow, too.
Maybe a little golf.
Geesh, man, that's quite the afternoon you got playing.
It's going to be a busy afternoon, but, you know, when you've got the sun out, but it's still a little bit cool like this, you got to take advantage of the outdoors, Scotty. How's your lawn looking?
Pretty good. It's going to be a long summer.
It's going to be a long summer.
We're going to get through it, though.
We're all going to navigate this water usage together. And I'm sure that I'm going to be paying out of the nose for every drop that comes out of the hose.
Yeah.
That's the new saying, by the way.
I like it.
Paying out the nose for every drop that comes out the hose. That's for gas and for water.
Yeah. Yep. There's multiple ways you can take that.
For sure.
Yep.
But are you excited? Oh, what are your thoughts tonight? Game six.
No,
game five.
Game five. It's done.
What do you think?
So you think Boston takes a 3-2?
Yeah, I do. I think Boston's going to win in six, honestly. Yeah. I think they're winning the next two.
It definitely felt that way after Miami's dealing with these issues, these injuries, and Boston just looked like an entire team and looked very good in game four. But Miami's showing that they can give Boston some fits. I don't know if it's six. You think they win back-to-back?
I do.
Boston ends it.
I do. Yep. We're going to have ourselves a Boston
Golden State?
Golden State NBA Finals.
That's not a terrible fight. It's terrible.
No, if you're the NBA, you're fired up about that.
It's terrible in the fact that you don't want to see those two teams there again.
Yeah.
But your options are a couple of other teams that have been there in the past, 10 years? Dallas has been there. Hadn't been to, was that 2014 that Dallas was there? 13? It's been within 10 years, hasn't it?
You mean when Dirk won the title?
Huh?
No, that was, they beat Miami. Let's see, was that 11, 12?
So it might be almost exactly 10 years.
Yeah.
Since Dallas was there.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't want to see any of these four teams remaining get another championship, but Boston Golden State would be, I think, the most interesting and exciting postseason matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps it up for us. Katie's hanging out with us. We're live here at Homey. And Katie, let's be honest here. There's really, when it comes to buying, selling, whatever you need to do with your home, there's really nothing you can't do here at Homey.
Exactly. We've streamlined the whole process. We've brought everybody together. We have real estate. We have loans. We have title. We have insurance. It's a one-stop shop with incredible communication service and just streamlined to keep all the savings in your pocket.
Well, honestly, the fact that what's the number now? How much money you've saved on commissions?
So last year alone, we did $33 million.
Wow. That's money that would have gone to some agent, but instead, that's money that's staying in your pocket.
Yeah, and over the lifetime of Homey, we've saved over $120 million. So just imagine all of that savings. It's just incredible to see what people have been able to go do and what the homes that they've been able to go and buy and what they've been able to do with all that savings.
Well, it's your home. It's your equity. You worked for it. You own that. And if nothing else, just go to homey.com and realize the savings. I mean, it's just a no-brainer at this point. That's money you need to hang on to, and then you can take that money and put it into your new home. You've talked about that as well. You had a family member that used Homey, and they were able to upgrade their home based on the savings that you were able to save.
Yeah, exactly. We ended up going with a lower purchase price than we were intending on, yeah. And we were able to take the savings from their old home and build the home that they were planning. Like, not build it, but remodel the home that they ended up buying. And now they have a dream home and a beautiful neighborhood, and everything's fixed up just the way they wanted it.
Get there, homey.com right now. HOMIE, that's homey.com. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Katie.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.